This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Train to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Train to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris Ranji, Amy Mark Scores here with you. Well, in the wake of cuts to federal departments and federal funding, there have been a lot of areas of specific concern. Areas that are helping people who are in need. And one of those is Doorways, which has been providing supportive housing for unhoused people battling HIV for 37 years. And joining us now to discuss how these cuts could potentially hurt Doorways and the services they provide and the people they help is Opal Jones, President and CEO at Doorways. Opal, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me today.
So for people who aren't familiar with Doorways, can you let them know who you guys are and what exactly you do?
Sure. Well, as you said, we've been serving the bi-state community for 37 years, headquartered out of the city of St. Louis, providing housing, health care, and empowerment solutions to people living with HIV, battling poverty, illness, homelessness. You name it. Our folks come to us with a myriad of issues, and our job is to stabilize them, get them on a health care regimen so that they can become healthy themselves and then ultimately not transmit HIV to other individuals by becoming what we call undetectable, which means there's so little virus in their blood that they essentially can't transmit HIV to another person. So as much as we are an intervention for an individual and helping them become whole and well and helping them thrive in their lives, we're a public health intervention as well.
Are you able to know approximately how many people you've helped over the years?
Oh, gosh, that's in the thousands. Mm-hmm. But what I can tell you is we serve 2,000 households a year and over 3,000 individuals a year. Mm-hmm. At any given time, we serve a quarter to a third of all people living with HIV in this area.
Wow. Yeah, and that's over 124 counties across Missouri and Illinois. And you guys, Doorways, started primarily as a hospice to help with people who are dying of illness, and you evolved to the point where you're helping people living to thrive.
That is very true. Yeah, our foundings are as an interfaith organization in 1988, where a bunch of clergy and lay folk came together to see how they could assist with the AIDS response at that time, because this was a time of desperation when people were dying, where families weren't accepting them, when certain faith bodies weren't accepting them for the condition that they were in and how they may have presented. And so these citizens were concerned, and they came together and they said, what can we do to help these people who are being thrown out of homes and rental situations and families? And they thought the best thing they could do is to house them and allow them to die with dignity. And that was our start. But as HIV evolved and progressed over time and started to affect more and more marginalized communities, members of the LGBTQIA community, communities of color, homeless communities, and so forth, we had to change the way we addressed the situation ourselves. And simultaneous to this, you know, you had the antiretroviral drugs that were coming out that are super effective. But because the populations around HIV changed or affected by HIV changed, it was hard to get people on those drug therapies. And that really is where, you know, Doorways works within the whole HIV continuum of care, because there is no health care without housing. We know that for any population that is struggling, that is kind of living hand to mouth, not knowing where they're going to sleep tonight, they are not concerned about, you know, health care. They're concerned about eating and existing and, you know, all of those things. So that's how we've evolved. And then, of course, once we got people on these therapies and they started to be healthy, it's like, okay, well, now you're not going to die. That's not, you know, what we want for you. And that's not the current medical situation. This can be a chronic illness. So how do we help you live? How do we help you thrive? And now we do that through our empowerment programs. We have on site at our new Jefferson Avenue campus, we have behavioral health, helping with mental health, addiction, those types of services. We have a food pantry on site through a collaboration with Food Outreach. We have a career services department, which is absolutely helping people gain employment and skills so that they can move towards independence. So we do all of these things in addition to housing individuals and stabilizing them and getting them on medications.
President and CEO at Doorways, Opal Jones, is with us. And with these cuts that are coming, are you able to know precisely how your organization is going to be affected?
Not exactly yet, but we know that they are coming. So I can tell you what's happened thus far. We've been affected in three ways. First of all, there's been a number of our counterparts at HUD whose jobs have already been eliminated. And these folks help us administer very complicated federal programs on a day-to-day basis. So, you know, when you think about a nonprofit, a small kind of shop, administratively, you know, we don't have the bandwidth to necessarily understand the regulations with the same level of expertise as HUD staff will. And oftentimes these programs, you know, when I do work on Capitol Hill and I advocate for our residents, I try to explain these programs don't pencil out. There's no way to make them make money, if you will. Mm-hmm. They lose money. And so the only way we can do that is through layering different federal programs together and adding donations from the public to make the programs work. And so when you layer complicated programs together that require all kinds of audits and different types of expertise, you need the help of HUD staff to do that. I mean, it's not fair to make nonprofits, many that, you know, survive hand to mouth themselves, to not have the support. So, you know, people like me want to stay out of jail, right? I don't want to be running afoul of federal regulations. So we've had HUD staff be eliminated. We have had all of the TA. There are, because the HUD staff is not enough to run these programs, so they have technical assistance providers. There are eight throughout the country. All of them had their contracts eliminated. So now we have no assistance there either with who the folks who contract with HUD to do the work. And then we've had a program called the SURE program, which was a national demonstration of 10 sites One of which was Doorways, that was selected to implement an intervention across the country. It was focused on reducing HIV in the LGBTQIA plus community, with an emphasis on transgender individuals who are at very high risk for an HIV infection. We were told to stop enrolling those people into the program. So those are the ways in which we've been affected thus far, which is very troubling to us. And you can't tell me that you are going to cut half of the HUD staff or more, and then you're not going to cut the funding down the line in the next federal budget, because that just doesn't work out. There's no way to get the money out the door. And I can tell you emphatically that over the years, we've been able to get, as a community across this country, new HIV infections down a lot. They will increase, you know, because without the housing and the different therapies and options available to people, new infections will increase. There's just, I mean, there's just evidence of that. So what we're doing is working, and we're ending this forward transmission of HIV, and it would be really sad to see us go backward in time and have more citizens at risk when it's not even necessary.
Yeah, and just from a practical standpoint, just kind of, you know, summing up your position is, you're trying to continue with the services. You are losing the assistance and the help of the people who help you do that job on a daily basis, make sure you're complying with regulations, make sure all the funds are being used appropriately. So you're trying to move forward with that, also knowing in the back of your mind that those funds could disappear at any time.
Correct. And we know other organizations who do similar types of work as Doorways who are already having contracts eliminated. Why, I don't know. But the writing is on the wall. And you got to realize who we serve. You know, over 80% of the people living with HIV live below the poverty line, right? And so most of our folks are either homeless when they come to us, or they are what we call precariously housed. They are living, you know, on this person's couch with their cousin for this while until they get put out, and, you know, and then maybe mom lets them stay. You know, these folks are already just living so marginally, and, you know, not knowing day to day what their experience is going to be like and where they're going to sleep. It's just, we already see homelessness across this community increasing. The point in time count that our homeless COC does, I forgot, it's something like quadrupled over the last year. So, it's not just Doorways, all of these organizations that are supporting the most fragile communities are at risk. I don't see this ending well for us.
Hey, Oblood, and before too, I wanted to ask you, I guess if someone's in a precarious position or they're unhoused, how would someone know if they're sick, right? If they were exposed to the virus, and how do they know to get help? What's the outreach from Doorways?
Well, they should, people should be getting regularly tested anyway. There are organizations that do street medication and are out there testing people and so forth. So we don't never want anybody to wait until they are sick, because if that's the case, chances are that their virus has, you know, their disease has advanced to a place that it doesn't need to be. People should be getting tested regularly. And that's easy to do through their doctor's office, through the health department. There's a number of ways people can do that, and it's absolutely free.
We would encourage people to go to doorwayshousing.org. That's doorwayshousing.org to donate or to volunteer or to reach out one way or another. Opal Jones, the president and CEO of Doorways, we thank you so much, and we wish you the best of luck. And let us know what we can do for you down the road.
Thank you so much. I appreciate the opportunity to tell the community about our work, and we hope that folks participate and make your voices heard. You know, this is our country. These are our communities. These are our brothers and sisters who need our help. Thank you.
That is Opal Jones from Doorways. Again, doorwayshousing.org.